All right, bro, I'm back in California, man.
Yes,
I'm back in
sir.
California. It's been
Dang, and you another year older.
another year older, 24, came in, a surprise. I didn't, that was wild. That was
I
y'all
forgot
set me
about
up.
that.
Y'all set me up.
Yeah, yesterday was a full day, so I ran the marathon yesterday, but it all was also a part of a setup we had to surprise Joshua for a welcome back and his birthday, which was on the 16th. Shout out to his girlfriend, Bimmy, for setting that up. Shout out
The
to
greatest, the
my
greatest.
girlfriend, Emma, for driving everywhere.
That was a rough drive, bruh.
Yeah, to distract him. But I think it was great for both of us. A significant day for me completing my first marathon. And then it was cool that the whole family was here to come
Yeah.
hang out. Shout out to my boy Joey was here too. And then it was significant for Joshua because his birthday, he's back. But that's a huge milestone living in another state, like New York, working for the Armory for 3 months. So does this feel like surreal just to be back low key?
Yeah, for the past 3 months, the past 3 months have been long, but they've also like have flown by and haven't had
Yeah.
time to really think about everything. It does feel weird to be back, but it also just feels so much better, bro. Like sleeping in a twin bed is not a move at all.
Yeah,
Like
that
any,
sounds
like
terrible.
bro, sleeping in a twin bed, it's twin bunk bed, bro. Like is not a move. Sleeping in a full size bed is so much better now. And just to have like space, a backyard, all that type of stuff, bro, is just so much better. If this feels so real though, like the view, because like I was saying, 3 months is an ample time to get comfortable. Just got comfortable, and then I'm plucked out again and back here in Eastville. So like, it's kind of. But it's cool to be back, bro. It's cool to be back. I love California. You know?
Hey man, West Coast, the best coast. You know what they say?
That's the truth. That's the truth. Let's get into it though. Cause I'm Joshua Potts, Mr. Possible. Always with the brother with the same mother, Aaron Potts, Super Hot Potts. And you're watching and listening to your favorite two black runners every single.
Two Black Tuesday. As you can tell, my voice is.
I think.
I don't know how my voice is going from running a marathon, but my voice is going. That stuff, that joint, that stuff hits you different when you run a marathon. My voice is going.
I think your that Two Black Tuesday was probably a perfect representation of how the marathon got it went for you yesterday. You feel me?
Hey, man.
Like, we gotta talk about it. We gotta talk about it, man.
I would love to talk to more people that run the marathon because I don't think anybody walks away from the marathon without taking some hits, bro.
I remember, so my high school coach, Coach Cummings, he ran his first marathon, I believe when I was the first year that he coached me, I think it was either a sophomore year or in my junior year, second year. I remember, I think the same thing like happened to what happened to you happened to him.
Cramped up.
Yeah, like cramped up, like full just legs. It was just like horrible first time. Then like the next one he ran it, he like won it. He won the marathon because he just did like a small one. I think like in Santa Cruz or like Catalina. I think it was Catalina Island.
Oh
He ran that
yeah.
one and he won. So like,
My boy Ian did that one and he won.
hey, yes, so there you go, there you go. So wait, let's take him through. Let's just take him through the story, bro. If you guys don't know, Aaron's training for the LA Marathon. We've been talking about it for at least about like
A while,
3 months now,
bro.
you feel me? Like this has been a long build up. About 2 weeks ago, about a month ago, things weren't going right, but he was confident in himself. He knew he was gonna get it done. He's
I
been
did.
running for 29 years, you know,
I
20
did.
years. Like he's about this. Came to the day, LA Marathon, was doing questions on the run. That was always part of the plan. And go ahead, tell how'd the race go?
No. Honestly, when I really think about it, I mean, I would say that, shoot, definitely just running my entire life definitely came through with me, through for me. Just getting to the race, having to get up so early. We got up at 3:50 to drive down to LA to get there for the race, and it was cool. As soon as I got there, like, the community hits. Like, I'm walking up to Dodger, like, I get dropped off and I'm walking up to Dodger Stadium, and another guy, he's like, yo, he's like in his car, he's like, you going up to check in? I was like, yeah, bro, come through. Cause he didn't know like
Yeah.
where to go. I was like, yeah. And I just walked with him the whole way up. He was just talking, getting to know him. So like immediately from the get-go, I was tapped in with that type of community you hear about in the marathon where everybody is just supporting each other and like helping each other. And then from there, you know, I didn't really warm up like much. You know, you're about to run so far, and I was in the open corral, which means that I was behind a A, B, C, D, E corral. Jeez. So I was all the way in the back, but I found my way to make it up to the front of that corral just because, like I wasn't planning to go out there and run 5:30s. I wasn't even planning to run under 6 minutes. So, like, it wasn't like I was going to sprint, but I couldn't be behind someone running, like, 8 or 9 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
That would have been tough. So, like, the first half, so when we went out.
But did you run, did you have, like, a jacket on in the beginning, or did you just?
So, I had a Hoka jacket, but.
You just threw it?
Yeah, I mean, I did actually put stuff in gear check, but I was like, I threw the jacket, and then I had my LA Marathon, like, the free shirt you get. I'm sorry, LA Marathon. That shirt wasn't really like, it was whatever to me. So that's what you gotta do.
Step up your game. Come on, step up your game.
But that's what you gotta do. You know, when you really about it, it's like, whatever. Well, I'm here to race, bro.
I don't care about that. You know what I'm saying? I feel you.
So, like, yeah, I was on the line getting hype, whatever. But, you know, my goal was to get under 3 hours, but I knew for sure that, like, I needed to pace myself. So, like, and I was just gonna, my plan was to do the questions on the run part within the first half, just in case anything happened that I would just be able to lock in and just focus onto the race. So
that was That was a good idea.
No, yeah, and I actually did like really much follow what I thought in my head to go. And like, I my first mile, I think, y'all check me out on Strava, Super Hot Pots, you know, fact check me. My first, actually, I could probably look it up right now if I really wanted to. But like, my first mile was only like 6:50. Like, I really was doing what I was supposed to be doing, bro. Like, I was having fun talking to people, 6:50, 6:40, 6:42, 6:42, 6:48. So I was like, I was running pretty relaxed, but I would still say I was kind of like, not like aerobically pushing myself, but I was pushing it. Like, if I really wanted to, I could have just been running like, you know, 7 flats or whatever. Mm-hmm. But my goal was to come through around 125. So I had that space too. And I did. I came through 125. Also, I mean, I came into it with the mentality of like I only had a couple runs where I practiced doing goos, and the most goos I took during my runs was 2, but I knew that I was gonna need more than that. So I had packed 4 and I picked up one on the course. So I ended up taking one I took a goo at like mile 4, I think again at mile 8, I think again at like mile like 13. Then again at like 16, 17, and then again at like 18. So like, I was like, so the most of the race, I was really just focused on my body.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was, cause like the pace I was running wasn't fast for me. So I was just like thinking to myself, like checking in. Cause when I ran a half a couple months ago, I got cramps in my calves. So I was like, okay, let me,
make sure this doesn't happen again.
Yeah, every checkpoint I was like, okay, I'm gonna drink. Because, you know, I definitely didn't want stomach problems, you know.
Yeah.
But I was like, let me try. Yeah, I didn't want that to happen again. So I was like, okay, do I need water? Do I need to get electrolytes? And I was surprised at how much I was able to eat and drink during this race and it not really affect me.
Yeah.
But basically, like, this is all build up to, because we get to around, and it's even hard to say, bro. Like, I have friends that were telling me before this, like, yeah, there's going to be, like, I would say, like, in the beginning of the race, there's a lot of hills, and your legs could feel kind of heavy. And I was fine. But then there was, like, a certain point, too, where I just felt great. So it's sometimes hard to, like, think about what was happening at which mile, because you're kind of just going. And I feel like at, like, mile 13 or 14, I was, like, running, and I would start running with this dude, and he just was, like, he had just great energy, bro. He was just a... He had great energy. So I was like, man, like, I'm gonna get this dude on for questions on the run real quick.
Yeah.
I was like, yo, can I get you on my video? He's like, yeah, bro. And I was like, yeah, I got you, bro. Pull out, as soon as I pull out my phone, I'm about to take a video. And then I was like, and my calves just cramp up so bad. And he's like, oh, shoot, bro, just take care of yourself. And I'm like, oh, shoot, we good. I'm like, bro, it's just a little calf cramp, you know? Just a little calf cramp.
It happens to the best of us.
Yeah, I just... stopped on the side and I stretched it out. People were coming up. They're like, are you okay? You know, I'm like, nah, bro, like, I'm good. Let me just, let me just stretch. And then after that, I don't know. I literally, there was points in the race, because I may have even cramped up once before that, and I stopped for a quick second, not as long as this one.
Yeah, it's not that minor setback for a major comeback. Like,
yeah, come on, and you know when you're about to get a cramp, you kind of feel it in your body, but you just kind of like, you're just like, oh. Yeah. And there was points in that room, at that section where I was running, and I was just like, no. I told my body, I literally was like, no, stop.
Not what?
Stop. And it worked. I'm not even going to cap. I told my body, stop it. Stop doing that. And it worked from like mile 13 to like probably like, it worked for like 13 to like 17. It worked to the point to where like I caught up to that dude that I was talking to and I passed him. And he was like, oh, okay. And I was like, let's go. Let's go.
What happened?
I was like, let's go. Come on. So then we get to like mile, that's probably mile like 17 or something. Like, honestly, I'm guessing right now. Maybe that's mile 17, mile 16. At this point, I'm like, let's lock in. You know what I'm saying? Because I can feel it in my body. I can start feeling like, you know, stuff's starting to tighten up. But I'm just like Musa, Musa. I get to like mile like 17 and I, or like Wusa, you know? I get to like mile 17, 18. I think I stopped one more time because maybe I had like a calf. I maybe had a little bit of a hammy, but it wasn't that bad. And then mile 20, I hit my boy, Derek, up. He catches up to me on the run. He's like, let's go. And he starts running with me. And I'm like, bro, like, I need you right now. I was like, this is so perfect, bro. Like, you don't understand. Like, I'm struggling right now. He's like, what? I was like, bro, I've been cramping for like the past, like 3 to 4 miles, bro. I need you to run with me because I don't know what's going to happen to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
About 2 minutes later, Charlie horse. Y'all know what Charlie horse is? Right in your hamstring. I got a Charlie horse in my hamstring. And I'm like, so bad to the point where I was just like, I can stand. I was like, it'll go away. You know? Wasn't going away. It was just getting worse. Like, I could feel the muscle just twisting and tightening in my hamstring. That I had to like, and to a point where I was like, Derek, bro, I need you to stretch me. Like, stretch me out. Like, I had to lay down on my back and do the hamstring stretch. And at that point, all these people, like 5-6 people started, the cops came up. They're like, yo, you need us to call somebody.
The 5-0?
5-0 came up trying to call somebody to help me. I had people like getting biofreeze, like spraying it on me, just spraying stuff on me. I had people giving me the tool.
The massage gun, like everybody.
Everyone, people must like Derek massaging me out. I'm like, come on, bro, we gotta get back. I knew I was ahead of pace. I was like, bro, if I could just fix this right now, like I'm good.
Yeah. So from the fans' perspective, from our spectators' perspective, we were supposed to see you at mile 18, but we missed you. So we're at the finish line and you're running good, like 30K and like I think 30K and 35K. You're like 6:49 pace. I didn't know you were like 6:40, then the next one was like 6:45, and it was like 6:39 pace as you're going through each 5K. I'm like, dang, Aaron's like moving good.
I was picking it up, honestly.
And then I remember on the phone, it like said like ETA for like estimated arrival time for like your 30K. And it was like, let's just say it was like 8:43, like a.m. or whatever. And so like it's like 8:54 a.m. And I'm all like, dang, this hasn't came through yet. I'm all like, shoot, I don't know if is Aaron okay? And then it finally comes in and the pace goes all the way down to 7:09. I'm all like, hold on. Then I was like, I was telling John and everybody, I was like, man, this man died, bro. He's hitting the wall. Like the worst thing's coming through. And then it just took a long time to see you to the finish. But yeah, go ahead. I was like, this
basically
man hit the wall.
From mile to, I can't even, you know, it's a blur to be honest, but from mile, cause I started cramping before mile 20, to be honest. I probably maybe started cramping as early as 15, 16. But they weren't as bad. But the cramps, and they only amplified every single mile after that. And if you look at from mile 15 to 20, I was still running pretty fast with stopping. Like, and then, but mile 20, it just got to a point that like, from mile 20 and beyond, it just got to a point where I was stopping like every single mile. Like, so like, look at like, I think mile 18 I stopped because I was running like 14, I was like, 26:27, 32:623, 17 I ran 6:18, and then 18 is a 6:47, and I'm pretty sure that's because I stopped. And then you go to mile 20, I ran 9:25, and mile 21, I ran 12:36.
Jeez.
So those 2 miles, I was like cramping like so bad, like getting on the floor, people stretching me out, massaging me, eating everything. And then after that, I got back up and I was like, nah, we gonna make it still, Derek. I'm gonna get there. And I ran a 709, a 705, and a 639. I was pushing, bro. And then I hit mile 25, whole body, but like cramps, seized up. And then this lady, old woman, comes up to me upstairs, and she's like, here, you got to drink this. And it was like a cola. It was a Shasta cola. I was like, what? Drank that? Helped me, bro. I was like, oh, instantly. But yeah, from mile 20 to 26, bro, I was trying to do everything I could to like make my cramps go away. I was drinking pickle juice, bananas, oranges, applesauce. I was just trying to get whatever fuel I could into my body to try and help me get across the line. I don't know. I'm not a nutrition expert. Obviously, there's something wrong with the way I did my nutrition, but also I think there was something right because I think it could have been worse. I think it could have been a lot worse. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could have not finished. You know, maybe I did need to eat all that food in the last 6 miles, bro. Like, to be honest, when I really think about it, like, cause I still ran 310. I was probably on pace for like 250, maybe even two. Maybe I could even broke 250. I think, cause I was never like aerobically like in the hole.
Yeah,
I was just my body.
Just like, dang, just like
my body was just like my. I didn't even get the chance to feel my legs feel heavy. You know, when you're like, oh, my legs are feeling heavy. It was like my legs didn't even feel heavy. They just started cramping, bro.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, that's the only thing that I'm disappointed about is that I didn't really get to run. Like, I didn't get to, it was just frustrating at the end. I was just like, dang, bro, like, I could run. Every time I tried to run faster, I would just cramp up. I'm like, bro, like, dang. By the time I got to mile 25, I just was like, bro, like, I just gotta, my friend convinced me, like, bro, you just gotta finish at this point, bro. Like, I'm just like, all
right. And not bad, 310 is not a bad time, you know? It's not better than Chris Chavez, you know, running 2:59, but
that took him 10 years though. No, I'm just kidding, bro. Tell you, Chris, that's my guy.
But you know,
he is faster than me though.
He is faster.
Can't
than
cap
you.
Respect.
You got that over
respect
you.
Respect on marathon. I respect on it for sure. For just
you got that over
one.
You, bro. You got that over
you.
You
got that over me now. Shoot, but completing a marathon, you know, don't talk to me if you have a completed one though. Don't talk to me.
Hey, bro. And I'm gonna get in there. I gotta get in there at some point. I've seen you something about every single time going to a marathon. That's like my fourth marathon that I've been to. Like watching every time, like seeing that and seeing people like push to their absolute limit makes me want to go do it. Like just like, man, what is it like to reach that level? I remember watching Hella when he did what is it? Leadville.
Yeah, that's crazy.
When we watched that documentary, I'm all like, dang, I want to do a 100-miler now.
Yeah.
Because I'm all like, I just want to, what does that really feel like? And that's something that like, something know. Like running, like I feel like I could actually like do besides like, I don't want to swim with sharks, you know? But like running and pushing myself to that
running
limit.
Running Leadville, I definitely gained more respect for ultras running this. And I understand now how they be eating all that random stuff because your body just needs like energy, like you just needs it. But I don't know how people be running these 100-milers, especially the people, even if you run it slow. But shout out to my homie Raj, bro. He be running 100 miles 7 minutes
in his sleep.
I don't know how you do that and your body doesn't break down. Like, that's what I'm even, forget about how fast it is. It's just like, that's just so much to put onto your body.
The day before you actually went out there and did that. And while I was in the sky flying here to California, it was going down in Southern Cal. You feel me? We had the marathon on Sunday, but the day before that at the 10 San Juan Capistrano, Orange County, was the fourth year of the 10, the Sound Running 10. Our first time not being
That's
there.
That's kind of crazy.
Our first time, but like, shoot, we got things going on. Our first time not being there, super fast races that went down. We want to give y'all a quick little running report before we get out of here. This is a shorter little podcast this week. I want to start here, Aaron. I think we may be losing the probably the most exciting girl in high school track and field maybe ever. Sadie Englehart runs U.S. number 5 high school history, 409.70. On the broadcast, the commentator was saying, like, she's not going to run high school anymore. That she's just focusing on pro. She's talking about she didn't. She was talking in her interview that she doesn't know what meets are left. Some people are
she's going to NC State?
Yeah, she's going to NC State, but that's in 2 years. She's only a junior, you feel me? So, but I don't know. I feel like she's still running high school. I feel like, can't you still do that? Does that forgo her high school anything? But either way, she runs 409.70. She was also talking about how, like, she's looking forward to getting to U.S. Olympic trial standard. So that is, like, kind of like her focus.
Do we know that standard?
She would have to run like 3 seconds faster, so like 406, around 406. So that's what she's really shooting for this season. But it would be a bummer to see Sadie not run high school. I don't know what she's absolutely doing yet. She didn't, like, confirm or deny that. That's what doing the broadcast, that she's not running high school. But it'll be interesting. It's crazy to see her actually win that race. When she was announced for that, I didn't expect Sadie to go out there and just win and, like, win that decisively. But it's Sadie Englehart. Like, she's a beast.
No, it's been cool just seeing her whole journey from her freshman year up to now. And she's always just been very, like, level-headed, very mature and humble from the time she was a freshman. So it feels like she was built for this. So best of luck to her. I think she'll get to 406 and get that standard. And then NC State is a long ways away, but I think that that's a great school for her. That's where Kaylin Tui went, and Kaylin Tui was, you know, a different animal, same beast. So, like, I think that'd be a perfect place for her to develop for a couple years too.
No, yeah, absolutely. If she would run that 406, that Olympic standard, that would make her second fastest all time in high school history.
Behind Mary Kane.
Mary Kane ran 404.
Shout out to Mary. I saw Mary Kane yesterday. That's crazy.
So it would be special to see her do something like that for sure. Yesterday as well, in the 1500 on the men's side, Kieran Tunative, he won the men's race. But I think the real story got to come from Matthew Centrowitz. He opened up his season, and this is going to be his last season in 2024. He opened up 338. Opened up in a 338.88, finishing in fifth place. And this is going to be his last season. He had an interview with Flow Track, talking about how he wants to end his career on a high note, pretty much. And he's seen other people through the sport. You know, his dad ran. He's seen his mom and his coach and his dad coaching this time. He's seen people come and go that stopped when they really need to stop, you know, and, like, it doesn't look good for him. From what I looked at from that interview, he doesn't want to be in that situation. He wants to end on his own term. On his own terms, he actually had a good quote in there talking about how, like, there's no better place than being in the shoes. You feel me? He feels like there's, like, when you're a coach or anything like that, it's nothing like being a competitor and really running the race. And I think that's very true for Matthew Centrowitz. And this is going to be a special last season for him. And I just want to be the first one to say that, like, we need to give Matthew Centrowitz a farewell tour. You feel me? Like, everywhere this man races, I don't know what, like, he should be, if we're going to adopt something from, like, other sports, it should be a farewell tour. And anywhere this place races next, after he races, y'all should bring this man in the middle of the field and honor him for him racing in your last season. Because this man winning 2016 Rio Olympics was one of the biggest things in U.S. history for the year of 2010s, you feel me? One of the biggest things in the 2010s, Matthew Centrowitz, thank you for what you've done, bro. We're going to be supporting you this last season. Awesome.
When you think about best 1500 American 1500 meter runners of all time, I think about Legat, and then, like, who's next?
Centro.
Yeah, is it Centro? I'm trying to think, is there someone we're missing?
There's other people, but they
haven't meddled like that.
But he's also just in modern, like, in the 2000s, since in this century, like.
Well, in the 90s and back then, there was nobody, or 80s, like, he's really one of the only people that have ever gotten an Olympic gold medal in the 15 Americans. So it's like, I think there maybe be one other person. So it's like, literally, he's top three all time for American 1500. greats. You throw Alan Webb someone in there because of, like, the records or something. But, like, he has to be one of the greatest. But he's also, like, a polarizing athlete, you know?
Yeah, and just for a reminder, the only other person, there's two people that medaled at the Olympics in the 1500 before Matthew Sinchiewicz, and that came in 1908 and 1904.
That's crazy.
Like, come on, man. Like, the other person that medaled during this century for America was Leo Manzano in 2012 when he got that silver. But besides then, for another person American to medal before then was Jim Ryan all the way back in 1968. And Matthew Sinchiewicz won that race in a fast time, too. I believe he won that race in a 3:30. Like, in a fast 1500 meter, beating one of the greatest 1500 meters of all time, Asbel Kiprop. Like,
when he won the race, he ran slow.
Wasn't it still like 330?
No, it was 350.
Oh, shoot. Hey, that's how you, the tactician, ultimate tactician.
It was the
tactician.
Most tactical race we've ever seen of all time. But I remember sitting down, I remember watching that in Big Bear with my cross country team. And I couldn't believe what this man was pulling.
Oh, yeah, you're right. 350 flat.
I can't remember what this man was pulling off. I couldn't believe what he was pulling off, how he controlled that race. I thought it was so beautifully executed. I was amped. I still think some people hate on that race, but to me, that was one of the greatest. That was one of the greatest strategic races I've ever seen. I think that might be the greatest. He was not supposed to win that race. And how he controlled that and put himself in position and was strong enough to hold off the entire field and of a convicted doper of Asbel Kiprop, like, that race was dope. Just off that race, you know, yeah, I definitely got him up there. Like, but you mentioned some hitters with Jim Rund in there.
No, but he's right there, bro. He's right there.
He's right there. He's top five, like, top five American, maybe top three. It's a debatable where you put him.
I'm gonna put him top three, bro. Put him top three. It's just influence. His influence. Yeah. Over, like, people were getting the shaved head.
That's facts.
People were getting the buzz cut.
When he was on Oregon Project,
he was the face.
Was that boy. Like, he was the man.
He was the golden boy, bro. Like intimidating. The celebrations. Like, everybody was imitating, trying to beat this man for years. Like, come on.
He was that boy. Yeah. No, he was.
Even when he hit the dab.
He brought a whole different... That dab was corny. I'm sorry. That dab was corny.
When he hit the dab.
I respect it, though.
Who else was bringing the dab in the track, though?
Nobody, though. That's why I respect it, though. That's why, okay. He was bringing a different energy to it. So he's had an amazing career. It's been really fun. To watch him race. And it's been fun to see him interact and go back and forth with the fans. We got to talk about the elephant, all that drama in there. You know what I'm saying? Hey, I'm going to apologize, bro. I disrespected you. I disrespected him with the last name. I was trying to be funny, but I should not say that. I should not call you Cilantro. That was messed up.
Oh, bro. Right, why are you saying it again?
I'm just being honest, coach. So if he actually listens to this, if he ever actually listens to this, know that I really do apologize, bro. Like, I'm just be straight up. That wasn't right. You know? He that boy.
Hey, so any meat directors out there, bro, anytime Central races next, you better honor this man. If he races at Prefontaine, which I assume he will race at Prefontaine, I better see this man on the field.
What are we going to do to honor him when we see him?
I don't know. We're going to think of something. What should we think of something?
Let us know. Hit us up if you got an idea. Maybe there's something that we could do for him that would be cool, too.
What can we do for Centro? All right, two more things, then we'll get out of here. We got to talk about the 10Ks. First, Sagay Gebrselassie. She dominated the field in the women's race, ninth fastest ever, 29:48, fastest on U.S. soil from Ethiopia, dominated the field. You were able to watch this race. Like, what was going through your mind when you seen this?
Bro, I'm gonna be straight up. This is not no shade. I don't know what was going on with the broadcast. Like, me and my dad was watching it, and I was like, "Who is in first? It made it seem like I was confused if she was in first or if Wayne was in first. So I didn't know what was happening, low key, until like a last couple laps, and I was like, "Oh, like, homie, Sagay, she about to run like a top 10." Fastest time ever. Like she was so far ahead. Like, Wayne was far ahead of a group, and then she was even further ahead. I was like, what is happening? And Alicia Munson was with her for a little bit.
Yeah, she dropped out.
And she dropped out. So it was just like, yo, like we keep saying, bro, women's distance running is just
insane.
Yeah, it's insane. From the you can say middle, from the 800 all the way up to the marathon. It's insane right now. And it's just like,
oh wow. I didn't realize that Sagay, she's only 23 years old.
It's so wild, man.
But I think it really speaks to the testament, because I wasn't really familiar with Sagay before this. And the fact that she went out there and did this at the J. Sarah track at the 10, it kind of solidifies more and more that, like, this is the place to be, you know, for distance running. Like, it's weird that it's in San Juan Capistrano. It's just a high school in Orange County. But that has become the premier place for distance runners, and a breakout star has really been born through that in Sagay Gebrselassie. Like, we're going to be seeing what she does at the Olympics for Ethiopia, and well, it's going to be exciting.
We need somebody, Hannah Borstein, that's the homie. I just feel like these Africans pop up and then everyone's like, oh, they came out of nowhere. But nah.
She's been doing it.
We need somebody covering these people, because like the two girls that ran World Indoors, they're like sisters, I think.
Yeah.
And they're 19.
Yeah.
Like, how do we not know? How did those people go undiscovered for so long? Like, Ethiopia got so many young hitters.
Well, maybe it's just that just America, we just be full of ourselves at times.
For real, though.
We just be full of ourselves. And like, we just be geeking out on like when there's just other things happening across the world. But no, you're definitely right. You're definitely right. All right, last thing though, and this is like, now we're going to go to the epitome of that, of geeking out about things that are happening in our country, because the men's 10,000 was kind of the epitome of that, definitely with Nico Young running the U.S. number 3 all-time in the 10K. Also, Grant Fisher winning that race, accomplishing that Olympic standard. We had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 guys getting the Olympic standard in that loaded 10K field, all led by Grant Fisher winning that race. Bro, what were your thoughts from that race? When I seen that Nico Young got second place, that was my biggest takeaway. I'm all like, what? This man just dominated the week before, winning the 5K and the 3K. And now he's doing this. Now he's in his first ever 10K. He's doing this. Can he make the Olympic trials team? We've talked about that for the past couple of weeks when we did these running reports. Can Nico Young make a 5K or 10K team? And after doing this, racing with some of the best guys in the world, I feel like he probably can. But what were your takeaways? You watched the race live.
Yeah, I did actually watch this race live. So let's go down the list. I'll start off with Grant Fisher. That dude is head and shoulders.
World class
athlete. You know, just the tactics that he ran in this race. Like, he didn't lead very much until the end. If you were watching early on, like, there was a point where, like, it was Abdihamid, Luis, and there was someone else in front. And Grant... I feel like Grant was kind of like hidden a lot of this race, and he just found his spots and moved up, and almost Nico kind of did the same. He was kind of just in the pack, moving strategically, but seeing him kick the last like 300 to 200 meters was really impressive to me. He looked kind of like bigger. Well, he's a tall dude, but he just looked very, very strong. Like,
yeah.
He went to his arms and he was lifting in the last 100. Like, look at how 26:52.04, 26:52.72. So when they came around the last 200, Nico was like in third or fourth place. It was actually, I think, Mo was ahead, because you know Mo was always
going to... Yeah, I think
gonna...
Mo and Grant, they were battling. And
yes,
then,
yes.
Yeah, it fell back.
Yeah. So the way that Nico kind of maneuvered out and pushed up to the front was impressive. And then... How do you say his name?
Optum
and Adrian. Like, Adrian was leading a lot of this race. He's been having a great year. The 12:56, now 26:55. He's looking like someone who also is very much world class. But Optum looked great as well. Flow Track kind of forgot about him. That he was like, yo, this dude might get the NCAA record
did. He also went under the NCAA record.
Yeah. So he ran a really impressive race as well, in a very gutsy race. And then last person I'll talk about Edwin Kerrigott, the first podcast guest we ever had on this man. I'm just happy that this man's finally signed, and he's been having a great year as well. Yeah, I believe, didn't he win earlier the sound running cross country?
Yeah, league? Yeah.
Yeah, now he's running 26:57, gained the standard. So, like, yeah, no, this was actually a really good race. It was fun to watch.
It's going to be really exciting just to see how all these guys progress, especially Nico Young and Optum Samuel. Both dudes are in college. Both guys were just peaking at one point, you know, at indoors. Now kind of going to hit this dead period and really planning for both of them to try to make the Olympic team.
Yeah.
You know, like, that is on their mind. So just seeing what are they going to do next. And even for all these guys, though, someone like a Woody Kincaid and like a Mohamed, I'm pretty sure Mohamed is not happy about losing a Nico Young. You feel me? And like somebody that is definitely world class, somebody that on any given day can get a medal in the 10K. Like, how is he going to propel himself on this? And then as well, Grant Fisher, like you said, he's been head and shoulders above a lot of people. But like, this dude he didn't win the Milrose, you know, he didn't win that race over Josh Kerr. But besides that, he's looked dominant. When he came back the next week and he ran that 5K at BU, looked dominant just right off of Woody Kincaid's American record. So like, a lot of people are in great spots, and it looks good. It's going to be exciting U.S. Olympic trials, to say the least.
Definitely. It's going to be U.S. trials is going to be kind of hard to pick. I mean, I only believe, like, Joe Klecker, 27:09. I'm sure he wanted to get the standard at this, you know, on this day. But that Joe Klecker is someone that he's impressed me. And he's someone that I think about, like, he's going to make the team, like, either in the 10K. You know what I mean? And then Abdi Hamid, like, he made the team last year in the 5K, right? Was it 5K?
Yeah, 5K.
He made it in the 5K. So it's still like, and then you got Woody as well. So it's like, Nico, he's got tough competition. Like, these guys are only going to get better. And so is he. So is he. But he's coming off of a championship race. So he's definitely, like, ready for this. So it's going to be...
But for him, like, it's not even the fact that he ran that fast, but it's the fact that he ran that fast and got second. That's the thing. Because it's showing that how he can maneuver through those fields and, like, really, when it's big-time races, he's up for that challenge. So it'll be interesting to see how he does at the trials.
26:52 is fast. You know what I'm saying? It's not like they're going to come and run 26:30 or something. Like, it's trials, you know? It might be slower than that. So it just shows that he has the fitness to be there. So like you said, like...
But like, a lot of those guys have the fitness.
Yeah,
a lot
so
of
the college like on guys the day, have the fitness. Can you put yourself in the position to win?
Yeah, like Matthew Sinchewitz.
And we haven't seen, and then it's like, and then you still got to think about Sean McGordy too. So like, there's so many guys in this 10K, and we know the 5K team is going to be just as tough to make with a lot of the same players.
Yeah, about the same runners, but... Yeah, it's going to be exciting. A super, super exciting track season. Man, that's really it, bro. I'm hyped. I'm hyped for ending this track season. I'm hyped to be back in California. I'm hyped for the next step of the Two Black Runners podcast and everything that we got next coming up from y'all. It's going to be an exciting 2024. It's only March. April's right around the corner. And I'm glad I'm glad that y'all are on the ride with us and rocking with us. If this is on YouTube and this type of video, hope you all, I think we're going to start doing some more videos and stuff more, and just appreciate y'all sticking on with the ride. Anything else?
Nah, man, just give us a thumbs up on YouTube. Make sure you rate the podcast, leave a comment. And I just want to say, appreciate everyone that was supporting me during this marathon. Y'all are really showing me a lot of love. I got a lot of messages from everyone telling me congratulations and thank you. That definitely made me feel good and powered me before the race, during the race, and you know, right now I'm about to make this drive home. So appreciate y'all.
Hey, see y'all next week on Two Black Runners podcast. Let's get it.